Finally, it is opening weekend of the NFL regular season, your last chance to join FanDuel before opening weekend. Millions of people play fantasy football, but can you win real cash this weekend playing fantasy football with your buddies? You can with FanDuel.com, the leader in one-week fantasy football leagues for real money with immediate cash payouts. The money's real. Entry fees start at just $1. No season-long commitment, no upfront fees. Play each week or whenever you want. It's all up to you. Set up a line each week and win every week, if you're good enough. FanDuel is paying out more than $10 million cash every single week this NFL season. $10 million. But you have to play to win, so sign up today. You go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, use my code Bodden, B-O-D-D-E-N, and sign up now. FanDuel will match you dollar for dollar on your first deposit up to $200. You know what that is? That's $200 free. Now, this offer is only good for the first 50 people who use my name Bodden, so please go to the microphone in the upper right-hand corner and enter my name Bodden. FanDuel.com, where every week is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. You are listening to Who's Paying Attention, episode 84, and I'm recording from Boston. This weekend, I'm at Laughs, my first time at this comedy club. It is absolutely beautiful, so it's going to be a great weekend. Let's get into it. You know, this is Labor Day. Well, Labor Day was Monday, and you know what that means. That means summer's over. Well, they say summer's over, and you'd be pretty sure it is, because if you go to Home Depot right now, you can buy your Christmas tree. Pretty good indication summer's over. You know something? That might be a good thing, because this has been a rough summer. I mean, what we've had, the shootings of black male teenagers, unarmed teenagers going on. We're dealing with ISIS and Americans being beheaded. We have the mess going on in the Ukraine with Putin. It's on and on, just one bad thing after another. Little girls firing Uzis, and just, man, what a crazy summer. So maybe it's good that this summer's over. I don't know. But anyway, let's get into this right now. And, you know, I always thank you guys for listening. We're always up and down. So let's see where we go. I'm going to start out with this ISIS. You know, you've heard me say before that I think it's totally ridiculous that Barack Obama is blamed for the situation in Iraq simply because the war was started by a different administration. But he has to deal with it. Now, last week, he came out with a speech. Nobody heard what he said because he had on a tan suit, and apparently that was the bigger issue than anything. Thousands upon thousands of people locked in on the fact he had a tan suit on, which was followed up by pictures on the internet showing Bush in a tan suit, Clinton in a tan suit, Reagan in a tan suit. But when Barack did it, it was sinful and horrible and disrespectful, blah, blah, blah. See, we get caught up. I'm just doing what we do. When I say we, I mean the United States, our media, our talking points. I started out talking about ISIS. I end up talking about a brown suit. Anyway, Barack Obama said that we don't have a plan for ISIS. Now, Biden just came out yesterday and said that, you know, our plan is to send ISIS to hell, which is pretty accurate. I'm going to give Barack Obama the benefit of the doubt on this one and say maybe we have a plan and we're not telling anybody. Maybe it's a secret plan. Remember, the previous administration gave up on bin Laden. The Obama administration launched SEAL Team 6. Obama is doing the politically right thing. He's being patient. He's saying that other countries need to get involved. This needs to be a coalition against terrorism, and we're not going to just jump into another war. I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do. But, you know, I'm just saying that, you know, Obama didn't tell us about getting bin Laden before he got bin Laden. And I think there may be some plans underway we don't know about. I give the man the benefit of the doubt. And just, you know, whatever you do, Mr. Obama, if you're listening to my podcast, and how random and funny would it be if he's actually listening to my podcast? Just don't wear a tan suit. You know, stick to navy blue, black, the occasional gray, just so people can get on with their lives. I mean, every time you inject some color, you just stop the world. Listen, I'd love you to bust out in purple one time just to throw them off. You from Chicago, you know you have a purple suit in the closet, Mr. Obama. Throw it on. That what'll ISIS do with that? Anyway, that's my view on that. I think he has a plan. I think that this warmongering sounds good, but I think if it was anything we learned from Afghanistan and Iraq, going to war with no understanding of who the enemy is or what the plan is always a big mistake. Sorry about that. I know that a lot of you just want to go to war. As long as you don't have to actually go, you actually send someone else to fight. But no, let's do it right this time. That's what I'm saying. Now, back home, oh, we got some problems. You know, you guys know I love politicians because they're such honest, fine, upstanding individuals. Well, guess what? They're starting to get busted. In Virginia, Bob McDonnell and his wife Maureen, you remember Bob McDonnell. Bob McDonnell was actually talked about as a vice presidential candidate. He was a Republican on the move, blah, blah, blah. Well, apparently that move was being financed by a lot of gifts. Bob McDonnell and his wife were accepting all kind of gifts, trips, she was getting fancy clothes and on and on. Well, they've been convicted, and they've been convicted hard. McDonald was convicted on 11 out of 13 federal charges. His wife, 9 out of 13. They're heading to jail, and not for a short time. They're going to go to jail. Who knows? They might get 20 years. This could get serious. But what's interesting about it is how many other governors are either under investigation or under indictment right now. Okay, you have Christie, you know, with the whole traffic thing and shutting down lanes of highways going to the George Washington Bridge and the mess he created there. You have Governor Cuomo in New York, who's branded corrupt, and they're looking at what kind of gifts and money he's taken, and you know, is he meddling in cases? What's he doing? You know, we have Rick Perry, who was just indicted by the grand jury for abuse of power. And what I'm thinking is, you know, once one of these governors go down, the rest of them are looking like, hey, wait a minute, maybe we're not above the law. You going to jail for how long? Let's make a deal. Blagojevich from Illinois, you remember him when he was trying to sell Obama's Senate seat. He may be in for some good company. Maybe there'd just be a governor wing in white collar prison. Maybe they'd just have a little section off for this is where we keep governors. I don't know, but these guys are. I'm happy to see it. There's nothing better than investigating a corrupt politician, except finding a corrupt politician guilty. You know why? Because they are held to a higher standard. Because you want to be the leader. You want to be the man. You would blah, blah, blah. Stop taking gifts. Look, you know it's wrong. You know, well, it was just a gift from a friend. I didn't expect anything. Really? You think your friend sent a private jet to take you on vacation? You know how much fuel a private jet uses? You know what a friend does? A friend might pick you up at the airport and drive you home. And that might only be in a Prius, depending on how much gas costs that particular week. But, you know, when they send a jet to take you golfing, they expect a little access to the governor's mansion. So be careful out there, boys. And they pick on Rob Ford. At least Rob Ford was honest. Catch Rob Ford. He just admits what he was doing. Maybe that should have been McDonald's defense. Hey, you were taking gifts and bribes, and I was drunk at the time. Worked for Rob Ford. That's all I'm saying. Now, speaking of politicians, I'm gonna have to This one isn't easy. It's not easy for me to say this, but ladies and gentlemen, Michelle Bachmann was right. I know, that sounded completely ridiculous and hard to believe, but yeah, it's true. Back when Michelle Bachmann was running for president, you remember that week, right? Well, she claimed this guy, Jesse Benton, who was a campaign manager and worked on her campaign, she said he was actually paid off to leave her campaign and go to Ron Paul's campaign. And guess what? It's true. It's true. This guy's been convicted. He took $73,000 to switch sides. Now, he's also a friend of Rand Paul and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, it turns out that Michelle Bachmann was right. And do you know how scary this is? Michelle Bachmann being right? What if this is a roll? What if she's on a roll now, okay? What if the earth is only 6,000 years old, huh? What if Michelle Bachmann is right and the Lion King is gay? Yeah, that's what she said, because the music for the Lion King was actually written by a gay man, so that made the Lion King a gay endorsed. Yeah, see, you see what I'm saying? But she might be right. Michelle Bachmann had a brilliant economic plan that said abolishing the minimum wage would create jobs. Of course, jobs with no wages are slavery, but it would create jobs. You see what I'm saying? You see how scary it is to say that phrase, Michelle Bachmann was right? Well, she was, and good for her. Good for her. Now, I'm going to move on to another topic, and this was it was personal in the sense that it has to do with my Facebook page, but it was also very twisted and just, there's certain logic I don't understand. Now, you may or may not know this, and if you haven't seen this, I warn you before you even go look at the pictures. This is one of the most disturbing things I've seen in a long time. There's a 5-year-old girl. Her name is Ava Lynn. Obviously, they protect her last name. She came home from kindergarten, and she looks like she was beaten. She black eyes, swollen jaw. I mean, horrible. It looks like somebody who just got out of the ring with Mike Tyson in his prime. I'm not joking about that. It looks like this child was beaten hard. Now, she told her mother she was beaten. Her mother went to the school. The school says nothing happened. The school said that they didn't see anything, that these injuries happened to her on the playground. They're not going to investigate. That's the big deal, that they're not going to investigate. So, you know, this thing has gone viral, and there's a Facebook page, and there's a GoFundMe page to raise money so that they can take care of the family, take care of medical bills, and so on and so forth. And it's a horrible story. It's a painful story. And if you saw the beating that this poor child has suffered, it's beyond description. So I put it on my Facebook page because it was, you know, this is my thing. Like, how bad do we get, right? Last week, we had a 9-year-old girl who, being trained to shoot an Uzi, accidentally killed somebody, so that's going to stay with her forever. And, you know, this week a child gets beaten and so on. And a couple of idiots came to my Facebook page and said, well, you only posted this because the child was black. Now, at no point is a story about race other than the human race, but this is what they took from a 5-year-old being beaten. That, oh, well, it's only because she was black, the only reason you care, okay? It's hard to even argue with that, but this was their logic. Well, an American was beheaded, and you didn't talk about that. Now, yeah, we all know that Stephen Sutloff was beheaded by ISIS, and the news covered it. Everybody talked about it. We know it's horrible. We know that this is what this ISIS has proven to be, this unbelievably horrible terrorist organization that the world is literally looking at how they're going to stop. How does that affect the beating of a 5-year-old child? Okay, I mean, a 5-year-old child, the fact that this is the United States of America, this is my view, that we're supposed to be better than that. We're not supposed to be a country where a 5-year-old child gets beaten like that. So this racial thing, and you know, and I've been looking for a way to say it, and of course, Jon Stewart, he has writers. No, I don't know who did it, but on his show, he did a rant about people who just don't get it. And what he said, when the people who say that, like, if you're black and you call out racism, they call you a racist for mentioning race. He said, well, you can't, he who smelt it dealt it racism. This thing was so stupid for these guys on my page. They're just trolls trying to create trouble. But it really bothered me that you could be that stupid. I don't understand the logic. Like, what are you saying? That, well, because there was a beheading, which is horrible, don't even worry about a child being beaten as being horrible. The child being beaten, she was an American child in the United States, beaten horribly. I don't understand the logic of these people. I don't understand. Listen, I understand we have social issues. I understand we have racism. I understand if you want to, you know, hate Barack Obama, you want to hate me, whatever. I don't care about that. But when you're okay with a five-year-old child being beaten, there's something wrong with you. There's honestly something wrong with you. It was fascinating. I say that I'm not often surprised, but this one surprised me. Even for Facebook, even for Twitter, even for any anonymous website where cowards, you know, choose to live, which is all they do. But this was, whew, man. But anyway, fortunately, and you know, and here's the thing about our society, the best always wins out. I know I'm very cynical and that provides a lot of my funny, but you know something? The best wins out. And if you saw all the positive comments about support of this girl and support of the family and that the outrage over there not being an investigation, and I suspect there will be an investigation and so on and so forth. Basically, the burying of these trolls simply shows that we're better than that. Yeah, this is the United States of America, and you don't beat five-year-old children, and we don't really care what color they are, nor do you train nine-year-olds to shoot Uzis. And now they're saying, well, there should be a height restriction. You know, like Disneyland or Six Flags, you can't ride the ride unless you're this tall. That's the now that's what they're saying. Well, you can't fire an Uzi unless you're this tall. So if you're a tall six-year-old, maybe it's okay for you to fire an Uzi. I don't know. If we take away the age limit, boy, that five-year-old is really big. Toss him an automatic weapon. Insanity. Absolute insanity. Did you see Jennifer Lawrence naked? And neither did I. Got there a little late, but as you probably know, as we all know by now, there was a hack of the cloud and nude pictures of many celebrities came up online and different stories as to how it was done, but basically it seems that there was a security protocol not used by Apple that allowed the hackers to get into the cloud, get into people's computers and phones and find their private nude pictures. And then Ricky Gervais made what I think is a great joke on Twitter. He said, if you don't want naked pictures of you coming off of your computer, don't put naked pictures of yourself on your computer. I'm paraphrasing. And people got all over Ricky for victim shaming and blah, blah, blah. No, Ricky was making a joke. Listen, probably naked pictures of everybody on the internet. Men, are you kidding? Nobody wants to see them. Well, they do. Maybe Matthew McConaughey and Channing Tatum. Women probably pay for those two. Idris Elba, I'll throw him in that mix too. But me, believe me, I'm in that category of most men. Yeah, not too hard to see a man naked. Just ask. But anyway, this is one of those things. It's a Hollywood story. It's about privacy. It's about this. Listen, anything on the internet, somebody can get to. You know that. But we like naked pictures of ourselves. They invented the camera phone. The second picture was a dick pic of the guy who invented the camera phone. You know, he was like, hey, look at this. Oh, I can take a picture of this. So let's get over it. Let's stop being so sensitive when Ricky Gervais or anybody makes a joke like that. You may not like that joke, but I'm going to tell you that I thought that joke was pretty funny. Football is back. College football is back, and you know what that means. Jameis Winston is under investigation. That's right. The quarterback from Florida State is being investigated by Florida State for the sexual assault case back in 2012 that the Florida sheriff or justice or whoever it was investigated found him not guilty of. Now, because of various NCAA regulations, the school has to do an investigation. Yeah, again, call me cynical, but I just don't think Florida State is going to find their Heisman-winning, national championship team leading quarterback guilty of a sexual assault that the authorities didn't find him guilty of. But good for you, Jameis. You're about ready for the NFL. But be careful when you get there, because Roger Goodell just, someone whispered in his ear that it's wrong to beat women, and he has now instituted a policy of a 6-game suspension for domestic abuse convictions. Problem with the NFL and convictions is there are so many, and there's such a weird sliding scale. You know, this guy's abusing women, that guy's taking drugs, this guy's drunk driving. But they really need like a chart or a scoreboard. Just what did you do? This is how many games you miss. Make it easy on yourself, Roger. Get a chart just so they know going in. And finally, the last thing I want to talk about this week, and I thank you guys for listening, and I really appreciate the support. Well, you know something? Before I wrap it up, I'm going to tell you that I've done a few other podcasts this week, and they've been nothing but fun. There have been some great podcasts that I was happy to be on. I was on, I'm sorry, I'm looking this up right now as I talk. Yes, I should do my research in advance or actually remember what I did, but come on, that would be too easy. But anyway, I did Wired In with Shegun, which is a great podcast, and that's on the Podcast One Network. And I also did Man School, which is here on the Sideshow Network, Man School Podcast with Caleb Bacon. Those are both out there. The one with Shegun was really fun. We talked about a lot of things. So check me out. I'm on the Podcast One Network with Shegun, Wired In with Shegun. I'm on the Man School Podcast, recorded both of those this week. It's been good. And the last thing I wanted to talk about, and I say this with sadness and the utmost respect, Joan Rivers died today. As you may or may not know, she stopped breathing a little more than a week ago, and they waited to see if she would recover, and she hasn't. And, you know, some people only know Joan Rivers as one of the fashion police and making fun of people poorly dressed on red carpets, but respect to Joan Rivers, because Joan Rivers, who I'd never met, Phyllis Diller, who I did meet, these were women who were comics when women weren't comics. This is a woman who was doing it for 50 years. This was the first woman to guest host The Tonight Show, and she pissed Johnny off. That's why she didn't get the gig, but she could have been a host of The Tonight Show. There are too many accolades. You could go on forever about everything Joan Rivers has done as a comic and being a woman in a man's world and stepping out and never being too shy. Never being too shy, right up until the end. If Joan Rivers saw a bitch, she called her a bitch, or called him a bitch. She'd call him a bitch. You're damn right she would. She was an amazing comedian. Her movie, her documentary, if you haven't seen it, it's definitely worth seeing. She worked right up until the end. I think she was probably on stage the week before she passed away, which is amazing. And I love these old comics who do it. I met Rickles this summer. I like I said, I got to work with Phyllis Diller and all these comics that are in their 80s and they work right up until the end. I have mad respect for them. Much love. So take a minute this week and laugh at something Joan Rivers said. She even told them what kind of funeral she wanted, and she wants it to be a Hollywood affair. She wants to go out in a designer gown, and she wants Meryl Streep to be there and to cry, and that's very cool. She's a legend. She was gifted, and we were lucky to have her. And, you know, in the end, when she was making fun of people in their clothes, she was pretty good at that, too. So we're going to miss Joan Rivers. I am Alonzo Bowden. This is my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? September 18th to 20th, I'm going to be at Yuck Yucks in Vancouver. And September 22nd to 29th, I'm going to be at the Laugh Factory at the Tropicana in beautiful Las Vegas. I hope to see you at some of the live shows. I thank you for laughing. When they say who's paying attention, well, it's you.